scriptures today are very interesting. In the Old Testament, David was overcome with joy at rescuing the Ark of God to the point where his wife would beside herself with anger at his ecstatic behavior. Preachers tend to ignore the Psalms in their sermons, but today we learn in a few powerful words in number 24 that we share what we are to be. Paul, writing to the Gentiles like us, brings up God's will, makes us think about our freedom of will, and we have the gospel. Where Herod feels social pressures much like we feel in our society today. This gospel is unique, as it starts in between Jesus sending out the 12, which we heard last Sunday, and then returning with some success, which we'll hear about next Sunday. This is the only section in Mark that does not pertain directly to the actions of Jesus and or his disciples, although we just heard that Herod had heard of them. So what can we learn about how we are to be in our world today? Well, we Christians who believe in Jesus Christ and all he means to us face many pressures if we try to do the right things. Free will? Are we robots programmed by God to do his will? Well, of course not. God did not create us as amusing toys to be manipulated and then swept off the board. Verses 9 and 10 from Paul's lesson today are, quote, "With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time." So God does have a grand plan, taught to us by Jesus, gives us the option to follow the plan or not. What God gives us is the ability to manage our lives as we choose. We are given life, guided and transformed by God's immeasurable love, directing us toward his purposes. It's not easy to follow God's plan. Antagonism between the rules of God and the rules of society made it risky to follow God. We can name many prophets of our time who demonstrated true understanding of God's power and have spoken out, telling truth about injustices and pointing us toward understanding the gospel in spite of the cost. For example, Martin Luther King Jr. and Desmond Tutu, their words and those of many others can inspire and challenge us to live according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, in spite of the risks involved. Mark's return to the story of John and his death, when Jesus seems to be enjoying success and popularity, introduces a sobering note into the story, a reminder of what happens to preachers who threaten established authorities. Our risks in everyday life may be small, but sometimes we may feel that decisive, perhaps unpopular action is needed. Then the risk may be large for us, perhaps socially or financially. Herod had feared John the Baptist. He knew John to be a righteous, holy man, and to some degree had protected him and liked to listen to him. He heard the word gladly, but Herod was in a tough spot. His wife hated John for criticizing her marriage. When Herod gave a big birthday party for himself, undoubtedly with a goodly supply of wine, he was so taken by his daughter's dancing that he promised to give her whatever she wanted. She asked her mother, who told her to demand to have John beheaded. Herod was, quote, deeply grieved, unquote, but he sold out and agreed to John's death. How can we interpret this story to give guidance? One way to read this passage is in terms of success versus significance. Success is a world measure that was seen in the court of Herod. was the chief of state and senior advisors, military commanders, the leading people of the country. They were the ones who can afford leisure and pleasure. They can get what they want when they want it. Somewhat like many, perhaps most, in our country today. John the Baptist, alone in his cell, doomed and helpless to save his life, was in shocking contrast to the glitter of the successful people of his time. We can be fascinated by the wealth and the power, intrigue of Herod's successful court. Yet the significance of the text lies in the death of a starkly simple prophet in Herod's prison. The gospel invites us to look closely at success and then choose the significant path of Jesus Christ. Psalm 24 reminds us in verses 3 through 5, who can stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not pledged themselves to falsehood, nor sworn by what is a fraud. They shall receive a blessing from the Lord and a just reward from the God of their salvation. We'll share communion soon, which brings us closer to God and feeds us to go out into the world to try to live as God intended, fighting off the temptations of material success and excess. In the Old Testament reading, David shared the blessings with offerings, then distributed meat, cake, food to his people, kind of like we gather to share the blessing of the Eucharist. The way in which we live our lives, and the way we celebrate our joy and connection to God, is what unites us together as a people of faith, a Christian community. After all, our Christian faith is more than knowing about Jesus, also more than admiring Jesus, even more than just gladly hearing the word. Herod had done much of this with John, but his life did not bear fruit. The cares of his world canceled it all out. Christianity is not only knowing about Jesus, but knowing God has revealed in Jesus. It's about having a relationship with God through Jesus. Christianity is about knowing and being known by God. It involves our whole lives, not just our heads. I pray that God, through Jesus, will give all of us the courage and will to live as Jesus asks. Amen.